So good evening, in case if you, most of you know me, I hope. Some of you are new, so, but what I was feeling for tonight is this very thing that we've been put into, if I can put it that way. And Boren touched on it a bit when he said, like, don't despise the small things. And it's exactly what I feel God wants us to catch. So I'm going to give you the name of my sermon, which if you were there on Wednesday night, you already know what it is already called. So it is, Now What? Here we are, PM, Now What? What are we going to do now? And so hopefully, not through what Dylan thinks or what the clever people of the world think, but what God tells us in his word. I'm going to try and take, and I'm going to use the example from Paul about exactly how he built and planted churches. And the way he did it is a great way to actually look at it and say, well, maybe that's what we should do. If he got it right, let's follow his example. But I wanted to start off with this picture that I got, and then I had to actually go and look about it. So it's that formation of a V when you see geese flying. And it's actually cyclists has actually picked it up, so it's a good thing for the August. That's why there's probably, you would have probably had a few guys from this morning out at the August. It's called the peloton. But the geese, they also fly in this formation. And it's the front goose takes on, that's what I call my wife, so it's hard to say goose all the time. Because she's my goose. So the front goose actually takes up all the wind resistance. And as he flaps, the birds behind actually benefit from him breaking open there. And one goose can fly 30% of what a whole flock of geese can fly. So they get 70% more distance by just doing this together. And the incredible thing about it is the guy in the front isn't the only guy. They swap around. He gets tired. He moves back. And it's exactly the same as the cyclists do it in a peloton. They basically move behind each other. The first guy breaks one. So the guy who actually wins, like, what's that? So let's say the August, but it's not the August. The Paris one. What's that one called again? Tour de France. He's got a whole team that basically carrying him. And he never sits in the front. He sits in the wind-resistant part until it's time for him to break out of that thing. So they actually save him until like 30% or 40% of the race. And then he breaks out. And then it's up to him to do what he needs to do. The incredible thing about this is if one of the goose get injured, two other geese will go with it and stay with it until it has been healed and can carry on another journey, and they'll join another flock, or until it dies. What a good example for us in church, eh? Like, we can stay there until... And so I had this. One believer is powerful, but a united church is unstoppable. And if we can stay united, be careful what God can do through this place. Cool. So, now what? So that was just the intro. What do we do now? I'm glad you asked. So I've got 5 points, and I've taken them all out of Paul, and I'll relate them to Scripture. But as we planted, Mark was PM, there was this weird thing that me and Boren felt like when we discussed in the week after our first meeting. It's like, how do we do this together? Because we're separate. And Boren had a good picture, and I'm going to show you what it looks. So we're two different churches at the moment, very separate, doing two different things, not going to be the same, not going to work the same. But actually, because of Melkbos, and we all here to do Melkbos, this is how we are. We're with each other. And so you'll see him around a lot. You might see me land up going to the morning as well. Because iron sharpens iron. As one man sharpens another. And we don't want to just do this because it's me now and just leave us alone. I can do this. That is a very big mistake. We are not a separate entity. We are building God's church. Not my church, not Boren's church. God's. So the first point is, let's choose unity over our preferences. Churches don't usually break up because of persecution. They break up because of differences and division in the preferences. It's very weird, eh? When persecution comes, churches don't split. It's not the thing that, but if we have difference of preferences, like I like this and I like that and you like this and my opinion counts, and we make it all about what we think or what we know or our theology, we get stuck on that thing. And actually, sometimes I'm going, if I'm honest, I love God's word and I love his theology, but sometimes I dislike theology because it becomes a point where we have a difference. And now we've got to work out this difference. And sometimes because of my ego or my pride, that difference becomes an issue. And so that'll break unity in me because I'm like, oh, that guy, he thinks he knows everything. Meantime, I think the same because of my own pride. So we've got to always lay those things down every time we do this. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, Paul pleaded with the church to stay united. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there are no divisions amongst you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. That's a big statement for unity. Same mind, same judgment. So when Arvin makes a call, we make a call. When God makes a call, we all definitely jump on that call. And so that's what we want to hear, is the things of God and how we move forward in God. So now what? Let's choose unity over our opinions. Let's choose humility over pride. Let's protect the unity of the church. Unity is something we must fight to keep. It's not always going to feel comfortable for you. You're going to feel like, oh, that guy miffed me out. Fight for the unity in your heart first. Because if you can't find unity in your heart, and it doesn't matter just about a church. Eh? This is about your marriage, your friendships. We talk about love a lot in this church. And that's what I feel God's called us to do, is build this thing on love. And if love believes the best, then unity should be the next test for you. Number two, play your part in this team. We were very clever in the way we asked you if you wanted to come to PM or AM. We said, find God. So if you come and complain about you're not Barrent and Barrent doesn't do it that way, I'm going to tell you, listen, God told you to come here, not me. Because you told me God told you to come here. Some people are going to join us afterwards. But you've been called by God to this place. Do what God asks you to do. Don't, get entitled into that thing about this and that. God's called you. Let's do this together. Let's lock arms. Let's stay unified. Paul never built churches alone. He worked with people like Timothy, Titus, Silas, and Apollos. Every one of them had a role. In Romans 12, verse 45, for in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, through many, are one body, and in Christ and individually members of one another. We are part of each other. We belong to each other. God, you've probably heard this before, but I said when God told me, when I finally heard, Dylan, you're leading PM, I was panicked. The first thing I was like, oh, now I need worship people and sound and AV and all these guys and what am I going to do? And God said, are you building this or am I? And I look now at what God's given me. What God's given us. And I'm mortified and blown away by the way he loves and he knows what he's doing. And if I just let him do what he wants to do and don't get in the way, he's going to build something incredible. And the reason when we're small, I think I shared it on Wednesday night, the fact that we're small, we're going to pull close to each other. But don't get comfortable in this place because it's going to grow. It doesn't even feel like it might happen. It feels like, sure, how much time are you going to give us together, Lord, in this small little tight place where we are able to find out about each other? That's why we're doing that home group thing this Wednesday. Like, where are you going? Like, meet everybody you can. Get close to people. Don't waste the time. Make the most of it. So now what? Discover your gifts. Find out what your gifting is. Serve the church, man. Like, don't just think, I was telling Nalene this today, don't just think this. It's a coffee team, the kids team, the AV team, the sound team, and the worship team. That's all there is in this church. There's a deliverance team. There's a prayer team. There's an intercessory team. There's a prophetic team. If you find out what your gifts are, we're going to have teams to the hoots here. And every person's going to be able to do their part. And every person's going to be able to walk into the things that God's called you to because you stepped into what God's asked you to. The church becoming strong when everybody participates. We don't come here to sit on a chair. Listen, I can go and get those nice little things. They're called seat warmers from Timu. They're probably about 30 bucks each. I'll put them on the chairs if I want to warm more seats. That's not what you're here for. We can use things that don't even have life in them. You have a life and you have a gifting and God can use you. Use it. Please. Number three, stand together when things get hard. So Paul and Silas were beaten, thrown into prison. And what did they do? Silas wasn't like, "Ah, Paul, you idiot. Told you to keep quiet there. Now we got busted. Now I'm beaten." Can you imagine? They first got whipped, and then they got sent to prison. And now they're bound with chains, standing in a prison. What did they do? They prayed and worshipped. Listen, worship was good tonight, but I think there's a level that we need to achieve in God. That you, if each one of you, worship, when you think about that, oh, my back, but God. In Acts 16, verse 25, I just want to read that quickly. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. But I want to tell you what happened in that. While they were praying and worshiping, not feeling sorry for themselves, "Oh, I'm so sore. Has anybody got something to put on my back?" God shook the prison. Chains fell off them. How many chains fell off you this evening while you were worshiping? And even better, the jailer who was holding them tight, his whole family got saved. Because no matter what their circumstances was, they showed Jesus to the people around them, no matter how bad things were getting. Incredible, eh? So, I mean, let's not use convenience. Let's get out of that place. Let's make sure. So now what? When life gets hard, don't isolate. Don't blame. "But you told me this, and this was always going to be better, and Jesus is the only way, and life's going to be easy. I wasn't expecting this." When we go through pain, the first thing we want to do is find somebody else to blame. It's the government's fault. It's the war in Iraq. It's got nothing to do. Iran, that place, sorry. Sorry, I don't really, like, I'm hearing about it, but honestly, I just pray God. My daughter's probably my sweetest thing, gift ever. She's like, "Why are they killing him? They're so horrible. Why are they just going to get bombed?" And I'm like, it is wrong. That power becomes this thing about, and it is. We're bombing other countries because we blame them for something they did. Because we don't want what they want. It's a blame game. Actually, at the end of the day, and then it becomes a power thing. Stand together in faith. at this time. No matter what's happening around us, together we know we've won, man. Jesus is sitting on right next to God in heaven. He's paid the price. All your sins can be forgiven. If you just ask for forgiveness or repent from what you've done, He can take away everything away. We've won. But we sit sometimes like we're still in prison with Paul and Silas, in chains, but we are sitting there like, oh, my life sucks. I wish I had a better job. My boss is the devil. Your boss is the key to your breaking through of the situations that you're in, because your character needs changing. The worse your boss, the more your character needs to change. The worse you're getting paid, the more you need to deal with money. It's funny how we look at things, but actually the real thing is, if we ask God, I love there's a quote in, I think it's Evan Almighty, wherever Noah was building the ark, and Noah's wife sitting in, I think it's in a coffee shop or something, and God comes and sits next to her, but she doesn't know it's God, and she's like, oh, how's your day? Oh, no. And then he explains to her, like, if God wants you to learn humility, will He take everything away and help you to? And if He wants your family to spend time together, maybe He wants you to build a boat so your whole family has to be together, and now you're spending time together. And sometimes we don't see what God's doing because we feel the pain of it, because it's not always comfortable. We got to do some work here. This is a church plant. This is not a soccer club. We're not going here to go and beat another team. We are the team. We're God's team. And we're going to change milk bowls for Him. We're not trying to beat people. We're trying to win people. So let's win, okay? Unity releases breakthrough. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. If God commands a blessing, let's get breakthrough, man. If we unified and we're trusting God to break into this town, I think we're going to see massive changes, incredible things happening. Number four. I spoke into my water. Wasn't as good as the mic, I must say. Focus on the mission, not the personalities. The church in Corinth, they were started to divide. Some said, I follow Paul. Others, I follow Apollos. Let us never say, I follow Dylan, I follow Barnes. We follow Jesus, man. We follow God and God's ways. It's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about Him who's paid the price, who's done everything that we need to do in order for us to walk into the fullness that we can in God. Paul corrected them in 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives his growth. So we just shout here, water, to plant, keep watering, keep planting, and eventually God will bring the growth. God is the only one that can bring life and life in abundance. We have to be super reliant on Him to do that. We can't do that in our own. We just keep doing the work that God's asked us to do. So now what? Jesus is the head of the church. Leaders are servants, man. I'm a servant to the King. I'm not special. The mission is bigger than any single person. We really, really do need each other. When we focus on Jesus, unity becomes easier. When we focus on each other in this church and we start going, oh, it's because of that, or that guy didn't preach so well, or that guy didn't make the best cup of coffee. We're really falling into the wrong things here. Because we want to see God move in power in this place. I'm trusting God. Like those people that we prayed for tonight, I want them to be healed. I want to see God healing people again. I want to see God getting massive breakouts here. I want to see people delivered from demons. I want to see people speak in tongues for the first time. I want to see people come to Jesus for the very first time. We all got to get that in our heart. Because if we don't get it in our heart, we are not going to grow anything except our ego. If this thing grows to 300, is that us? What rubbish, man. Come on. I couldn't grow. I mean, I'm trying to grow a mustard. I got mustard seeds from support in Anna Marie's wedding. I tried so hard to grow a mustard tree. I have failed over and over again. I can't even grow that. How am I ever going to get into a person's life? I have no ability to do that. But God can use me to have the privilege of watching Him do something in your life. That's all I have, is that privilege. And I can watch Him do that in your lives. And so if we make ourselves available, privilege to watch God do things. Like, I'm trusting tonight that we're going to see some people healed from what we prayed for. What a privilege if they get healed. Like, what? And then we sometimes go, what? God really healed them. Well, don't pray if you don't think He's going to heal them. Pray like He is going to heal them. Number five. Let's make unity a priority. Like, it's the main thing. Like, if we can't get along, surely we need to fix something in us. And sometimes when you can't get along, don't go and find out who's making it wrong for you. Ask God, Lord, what is in me that I need to change in order to change for this thing? That You may be unified in and through me. Because if I'm not changing myself, I can't change you. I have no power to change anybody in this room. You know who I have power to change? Me. You know you've got power to change? You. I can't make my wife love me. She has to choose that on her own. She can't make me love her either. I have to choose that. Every day, same thing. To choose it. Sometimes I have to pray, God, help me love this woman. And it's true. It's not like I wake up every day and I'm fully in love with my wife. It's like I wake up in different moods and situations. I need God to help me. But the problem is, we don't ask God to help us. We need to start asking God to help us be more unified. Don't ask God to humble you. Very dangerous thing. I've done that. It's not nice. It's sore. So unity doesn't happen automatically. It requires effort. It requires being open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Ephesians 4 verse 3. Be eager to maintain the unity of in spirit and the bond of peace. We've got to maintain it. When it says maintain, it's like, Like I'm holding the course. No, you got to maintain. You know what it's like maintaining your garden or your house? Same thing. You got to pull out the weeds. You got to sort out the issues around it. You got to trim the edges. You got to take off the leaves that are in the way. Things that block your way forward. So now what? Forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Forgiveness is a sickness, eh? If you hold on to it, it'll kill you. And I always say this, but it's this thing where we as people, if we hold on to these type of things, the person that you hold unforgiveness to never even knows about it. That's a weird thing. And there's always this great picture, like you're stabbing yourself in the leg, bleeding, expecting that person to feel it. They don't feel a thing. Their life is carrying on. They're dandy. They have no... But you want to sit there with unforgiveness. So you're bleeding in pain, and they feel nothing. So if you think of it like that, all you're doing is hurting yourself. If you hold unforgiveness in your heart. It stops you. You're damaging your own heart. You're damaging your own body. Stop. Make a choice. God wants us because This, for me, is one of the biggest things in the Bible. If you can't forgive, God can't forgive you. Sure. Encourage one another. We need to be guys that like, hey, you're doing so well, man. Keep going. Yeah, we're small, but wait. Watch God do stuff. Don't give up. I believe in you. Don't give up. God believes in you. Don't stop doing good right now, because in that, when you're going to see your fruit coming, it doesn't happen instantly. I throw a mustard seed into the ground, it doesn't just pop up a mustard tree. I can tell you it's hard work, and I haven't got it right yet. I wanted to find out where you can buy one, I must say. I thought, like, if I can get one at least a little bit, at least somebody's gone through all the effort. But they're quite expensive. So you can tell that it's a hard job to actually get them done. Protect unity. How do you do that? It's very simple, actually. It's like this. If you hear somebody say something about you and you've, like, don't get hard in your heart. Go to the person and say, how's it, man? I don't know. I've just heard this. Just wanted you to know. I don't think this is because love believes the best. If you did it, then okay, that's your problem. But at least I've made, taken this off. Because what we do is we leave it and then we go, that person. And when you see them in church, it's like, oh. That's not protecting unity. That's creating disunity. When you hold something in your heart and you don't deal with it. Somebody says something, the way you did that, and you go, that wasn't what I meant. Go and tell them. Don't just say, they're doof, man. How do they think that? That person's life could be different because you didn't want to go and say, sorry, that's how you've heard it, this is actually how I meant it, but I'm sorry. My heart is never to hurt. My heart is always to help you grow in the things of God. When the church walks in unity, God moves in power. And that's what I want to see, man. I want to see God moving in power in this place. I want to see the sick healed. If we can ever see somebody raised from the dead, that would be incredible. But sometimes I always feel about the person who's getting raised from the dead. Like, I can always, that story about Lazarus, I can imagine. 4 days, jawling up in heaven. Lazarus, you got to go back. What? Can I just stay? No, Jesus has called you. What? Like, just leave me here, bro. I'm in heaven. I've done all this stuff. I've worked hard. Like, I'm happy to be here where God has called me. So, I know it's good to hear, but this is a joke, but it is. Sometimes we need to go, okay, because of our memories and because of our own selfish desires, because we want people to stay, maybe God takes them for a reason. And so I understand that they're in a better place. You will see them one day. Their pain is finished. Ours is carrying on. We've got to carry on suffering a little bit longer. So the challenge for us is this. The early church changed the world because they stood together. Not one leader, not one preacher, but a united church. They had all things in common. Giving to those in need, da-da-da-da, you know the whole scripture. And when a church walks in unity again, cities will be transformed, but Malchus will be transformed. The city we trust. This is our city, man. This is God's city. Let's claim it back for him. Lives will be restored. And missions of Jesus will move forward with power. Let's read Ephesians 4, verse 3. Be eager to maintain the unity. And I want to use this one. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So maybe there's been hurt here. Offense. And that's not the thing you put around your house. That's the thing you've created in your heart because somebody hurt you and you didn't want to let it go. There's been division. There's pride. You've created distance between people. You've isolated. And God is saying today, protect the unity of my church. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe you need to humble yourself. Maybe you need to step back into this team. Maybe we don't have your whole heart yet, and I feel like this evening God wants to put your whole heart into this thing. Because as we grow together, we need each other. And as every part moves together, we're going to change this place for Jesus. Or maybe today you realize you need to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time. You've heard me talking about this Jesus guy, but you've never truly ever surrendered your life to him. 100%. Like you, as I'm talking, you hear what I'm saying, you want it, but you know that you've never actually surrendered that thing to him. And today I'd love to give you the opportunity. So why don't we close our eyes? And I felt this while your eyes are closed. Holy Spirit, would you just come? And would you allow your peace to fall on each person here, oh God? Like they have never felt it before. And there's two groups of people here. The first one is if you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that today, I'm going to ask you in a few seconds to raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you and love to introduce you to this Jesus that has changed my whole life around, who did everything I needed in order to become free of all the horrible things I did in this world, all the bad choices I made, all the things that I thought no one would ever forgive me for, the things that I thought would make people's skin crawl if they knew what I did. But he set me free. That's the first group. And then the second one is, as you've been hearing me, it feels like for me there's people here that have almost gone a little bit cold in their hearts to God. Almost you want that fire to come alive, but you just don't know how to do it. And it's going to take this. It's going to take you to re-surrender your life to Jesus this evening. So, if you've never given your heart to Jesus tonight and you want to give it to him, why don't you quickly shoot your hand up? I want to see if there is anyone tonight that wants to give their heart. Okay. And then the second one. If you've been serving Jesus but your heart's got cold, I feel like God's calling you back tonight to come and surrender your life completely to him. If that's you, just shoot your hand up quickly. I want to pray for you. Anyone like that tonight? Okay, amazing. You can open your eyes. So I wanted you to leave tonight, but the word says just hearing the word is not good enough. We have to be doing. And so I want you to remember that picture of the geese. Let's fly to help each other. Let's sometimes we have to take the slack for the other people around us. And let's take the front and we have to push forward and come alongside people. If people get sick, we go to them. We'll make sure they get ready better. When people sin and they fall off, we don't judge them. We go alongside them and help them until they come back into the things of God. Let's be those that restore the people back, that we can fly 70% further with Jesus than we ever have before, because we need each other. Thank you, man.